the 58104's fastest growing podcast. It's the legend. And the loudmouth.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go.
Well, not everywhere.
Take a look in the 5 and 10.
Listening once again.
Do you even know what the 5 and 10
candy
is?
Canes and silver lanes are glow.
Well, there's not snow outside yet.
No, there is no snow. Which is as we go into the closing day, or closing hours, minutes, seconds of November, there is no snow on the ground. And I mean, I know it's going to get to look a lot like Christmas, but it's time.
Yeah.
Anywhere you are, and by whatever method you are listening and socially distancing, we welcome you to this podcast. Thank you for choosing us. Grant, happy Thanksgiving again. We had a good one.
Yes.
It was enjoyable.
Food.
And what passed for actual football. Close enough?
No.
Not really?
No. That wasn't football. That was two teams kicking the crap out of somebody else.
Well, as it turns out, the holiday was the last memory Matt Patricia will have of coaching the Detroit Lions, as he was summarily dismissed earlier this week.
Dismissed, which means you're fired.
Yeah,
which means
he's gone.
Your apprentice, you're fired.
So Romeo Crennel, the interim coach, creates another interim coaching situation. I believe Daryl Bevel's going to be in charge.
Like, that's
going to
make it even better.
Of these days for the Leones. And then the Cowboys, who, of course, came in and did everything right against the Vikings.
They did everything wrong.
They started running random fake punts and doing all kinds of other weird stuff.
If you're the Cowboys, would you fire Mike McCarthy?
No, he can't.
Why not?
Well, because Jerry will never admit he made a mistake.
That's true. And Ryan Pace will never make a mistake. He missed on Trubisky, but I mean, you know.
I don't know. I mean, if I look at where the
Jerry's ego's too big. So.
Yeah, if I look right now at where the Cowboys are, it's ugly. I mean, and I don't see a lot of signs of it getting better.
They have so much talent.
Well, you know what though? Even if they re-sign Dak, are they anything better than a 500 team?
Nope.
I don't think so. I mean, honestly, I don't see that happening. But
no,
we'll talk about it all on the show tonight. We will dig into the playoff picture. We've got games moving to friggin' Wednesday, and God knows what else we have going on here. Not a lot of huge change in the college ranks this weekend as we kind of wind towards the major games that'll impact everything. And the Bison basketball team, well, we might as well start with them. They took three of them on the chin this weekend. Is that right?
Creighton, Nebraska,
and who was the other one?
I can't remember the other one because it's that pathetic.
Yeah, it hasn't been good.
I get they're the big boy schools.
They lost to Creighton by 11. They lost to Nebraska by 22.
Nevada
was the other one.
I'm not surprised I lost all three of those games. And I'm like, could you just put more of a fight in at least in one of them?
By the way, South Dakota State, they're good. And they're going to be very good, I think, this year.
Oh, I know that. I know that.
I think if you're going to pick anybody other than South Dakota State to win the league title, you're nuts.
Yeah.
I
hate picking them for anything, but basketball is their thing.
Yeah, it is. And they beat Utah State and hung with West Virginia, had them on the in a good game in the greatest basketball tournament name I've ever heard, the Bad Boy Moores Crossover Classic. You can't make that up.
Like the Bad Boy Moores Gasparilla Bowl.
And unfortunately, that means, though, also that South Dakota State is going to be on our dance card a few extra times this year because of this Dakota Classic, their Dakota Showcase they're doing here in a few weeks.
Yeah.
The Bison will get them then, and then they'll get them for that double dip later on in February.
Yeah, they're going to whoop them. The Jacks will whoop up on the Bison.
So we'll see. Well, hopefully that doesn't turn out to be the case, but
I
guess you never know.
It will be.
So, anyway, so Bison basketball is officially underway. We haven't really talked to Bison men a lot, and I guess in our point of view, it doesn't really matter much of what they do, and they're such a limited non-conference this year. I'm not really sure.
You play what you can get, I guess.
But, yeah.
Yeah, it's just I don't know. It's just unpredictable how good or bad this team's going to be. If they had Cam Hunter at point guard, I'd feel better, but we don't. He's gone, so I don't know.
By the way, we got Kansas in a week. Yes, that Kansas. So
how bad is that? That butt kicking going to be?
That's going to be a butt.
They beat Monmouth last year by almost 60 points. I know Bison's a little better than Monmouth, but I like to look at them.
Well, in the first few games, it hasn't exactly been a shooting contest for anybody. Tyree Edey's leading the team in scoring and rebounding at this point. It's going. Griesel is averaging his usual 7 points and 9 rebounds. Jackson Notek has shown some early promise, and of course, you got Rocky, but. It's kind of a hodgepodge.
At least they hung with a top 15 team. I mean, at least they were still in the game.
Mm-hmm. I agree. But I think they're still trying to figure out. Right now, if it's Edey and Griesel and Notek and Cruiser and, I don't know, Harden Hayes might get some time. It's tough to really make too much sense of this team at this point. And probably nothing we'll have to worry about for a while, but it will be interesting to see how they gel and if they are able to make any kind of run in the Summit League. I don't think very much is expected from this team this year, but you never know. Well,
2018 is a perfect example, so we'll just move on.
Yeah, we'll just kind of see how it goes in the grand scheme of things. But anyway, that's all the basketball we're going to talk on this show, because this is, of course, about the National Football League.
Yeesh. Do you want to explain the Vikes to me, or
we're gonna start with the Vikes?
Well, we always do. So I mean,
well,
win or lose, they have to. So
this one's worthy of starting with the Vikes. My goodness, I don't even know where to go with the Vikes game.
The Vikings lost every aspect of the game except the final score, because they should have lost that game. If they played 10 times, Carolina wins 9 of those games. This is the one the Vikings win. I mean, they did not deserve to win that game under any circumstance.
Carolina didn't deserve to win it in the last quarter. However.
Neither team deserved to win that game.
Well,
the Carolina won. Like the Vikes won the first. Vikes won the first half. Carolina won the third quarter. Then the Vikings pulled it out the fourth quarter.
I'm still trying to figure out if you're Carolina, why the heck you were even throwing the ball around?
Yeah.
On that one sequence,
bad clock management.
They let the Vikes completely preserve. I mean, honestly, it was to the point where the Vikings almost scored too quickly, and I can't believe I said that.
They were
that.
Trying to go for the kill shot. I mean, they had the receiver. I think they had, I don't remember who it was, but Samuel or Moore, whoever the receiver was. But he was open in the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
Wide open.
Mm-hmm.
And Bridgewater zings it by his ear, incomplete. And, they gave us a shot.
So, yeah, on that play, or that sequence that Carolina had, they never really got, I think, in sync on defense. And they let, after pressuring Kirk Cousins, and I, of course, like I said during the game, I'd blitz Cousins on
every
friggin' play until he makes me pay.
And without Thielen, I mean,
right.
It's even easier for
him. But you look at that drive that the Vikings put together, from the first play,
on
the final drive, Jefferson for 15, BB for 6, Rudolph for 7, BB for 12, Rudolph for 25. That was the penalty.
Yep.
On chin, by the way.
Yep.
And then they threw one incompletion on the whole drive, and that was on the first and goal play. Mm-hmm. And the rest is history. Good for the Vikes. It keeps the season alive.
But I feel like defense is going to that prevent defense a little too early. Like, if blitzing him works, keep blitzing him. Teams going to prevent defense is way too soon. If you know Kirk struggles with the blitz, give him the blitz. You can't handle the blitz, keep blitzing him.
And then, of course, the Vikings make it a very Viking-like ending by allowing Teddy Bridgewater to complete a wide-open pass in the middle of a friggin' field.
Even before that, the extra point that gets blocked.
I forgot about the extra point getting blocked by the guy who was offside.
He's 3 yards offside, but it's okay.
By the way, let's give credit to Jeremy Chinn. The Southern Illinois native, not native, but
the first one he was lucky because the right place, right time. The second one he did. The second one he punched out. The first one that he was lucky to beat it.
So the final score was Vikings 28, Jeremy Chinn 12, and it was just ridiculous. The honestly, the Panthers didn't do enough offensively to warrant anything.
No.
Joey Sly, slippity Sly.
I mean, he got shanked the 54.
Yeah, that was a bad shank. But let's not forget probably the under-remembered play in the middle of the game. And, of course, who made it? DJ Wanham.
Yeah.
Who blocks the field, a chip shot field goal.
Right.
And really that, if the Panthers get that, there is no... It wouldn't have mattered about a muff punt or anything else for that matter. It would have been over at that point. So, kudos to the Vikes. They stay alive. And with the hapless 1-10 Jaguars coming to town, spoiler alert, they didn't win this week. The pieces are in place, as Brett Favre once said.
Hey, if there's eight playoff teams, I mean, we're in.
If there's a massive Rona, the Vikings are now in because they're in the eighth seed.
So we're praying for a Cardinals loss, and that we're still tied with when the Cardinals have a tiebreaker. But if we keep winning and beat Tampa Bay, then maybe.
Or the Rona takes over the NFL.
Or the Rona takes over the Cardinals, then that'll be okay.
I don't know, but outstanding effort by Chad Beebe. Of course, kudos to him for
When you're Don Beebe's kid, you better be tough.
Screwing up the game and then coming back to win it.
Did you realize that four Vikings had at least seven receptions?
I did not.
And it was three or four, I can't remember. I think it was BB Jefferson, Rudolph, and BC Johnson.
Hola, BC.
I think all four, BC got seven.
No, you're right. Johnson had 7 for 74, Jefferson 7 for 70, Rudolph 7 for 68, and BB 7 for 63. That's a four of a kind. That means you're the winning poker hand, right?
Yeah. BC Johnson caught seven passes.
Yeah, It probably hasn't had seven catches. I will wager, and I'm looking right now. I bet you didn't have seven catches the whole year.
Oh, probably not.
I was right. He had six going into the game.
He had six.
Though. And he had seven. So, from Colorado State, you got beat by the Bison.
Yeah.
By the way. Tajay Sharp sighting.
He caught a pass.
No, he didn't. He was targeted. He didn't catch one. But Tyler Conklin did. Something called B. Dillon. Who's B. Dillon? Brandon Dillon caught a pass.
Fourth string tight end.
I must have missed that.
Yeah, you did.
Was I upstairs cooking French fries at the time?
That was the bathroom.
That's entirely possible. Just think about how bad the Vikings' defense would be, by the way, without Eric Kendricks right now.
Oh, God, yeah.
I mean, guy's a machine. And then the interesting part for Carolina is all of that running game with Christian McCaffrey. Wasn't in the lineup. They wind up with Meg Davis running for 55 yards.
I thought he had more.
He had 15 carries.
Yeah, it looked like he had more yards than that.
Teddy had his signature 8-9 yard run and a spin move involved. Just Teddy
Cooper. He throws a deep ball.
You think Teddy just looks like he's never going to be any more than he is?
I think Teddy's a game manager. I think he really puts the ball in harm's way, and when he does, it gets picked. But it's just. He throws deep once or twice a game.
He threw it three or four times deep against us.
Yeah. He put one nice one to Robbie Anderson. That was pretty sweet. But it's just like...
But he missed DJ or DK.
Wow. Donkey Kong?
DJ Moore.
He was wide open.
He was wide friggin' open.
Yeah. But he's our game manager. If he had McCaffrey, I could judge him a little bit more, but he's okay.
Yeah. Panthers will be, they'll get better. They need a little bit more consistency out of the wide receiver position.
You mean the wide receiver room?
Oh, seriously. The wide receiver room. Honestly, I hate that expression with a passion. Well, so the Vikes go to 5-6. They will at least be in the playoff conversation for at least another week. Hopefully a few more as things go. Let's run down the rest of the league, Grant. We already talked about the Thanksgiving games. We won't spend much more time on those. Texans pound the Lions 41-25 in a game not as close as
the Matt Patricia, here's your pink slip. You're fired.
Yeah. Will Fuller also, by the way, who had
you're,
a big game.
You're suspended.
Yeah, you're suspended for, I believe, six games. For
rest of the season, first game of next season.
That's beautiful. Very smart move there by Will Fuller.
And also his contract expires after this season.
In a contract year, let's go out and blaze up or whatever he did. I don't know what kind of drug use it was or what it was.
It just said drug policy.
Okay, well, there you go. So he's out. Texans are out. 3-7 isn't going to get anywhere this year. Lions, again, they've got issues. They've got problems. No solutions, and they're in fourth place.
Did you see Lions fans donated to Sean Watson charity?
Did they?
Yeah, because how many games did Matt Patricia win as head coach in Detroit? 13 games.
Okay.
What did Lions fans donate? $13 donations. I'm like, nice of them.
I think Matt Patricia will be in the league again somewhere.
Yeah, he's going to be a D coordinator.
He'll be a D coordinator for somebody, and I think that'll turn out well for him, I think. But
I mean, even Dennis Allen says it defensive coordinator job. So, and he was a horrible Raider coach. Yeah. So, I mean, who wasn't a horrible Raider
There's
coach?
A lot of horrible Raider
If your name
coaches.
Isn't John Gruden or Tom Flores or John Madden, you're not a
Tell you what, man. Okay. Anyway. Washington, the football team, 41-16. In a game not, again, as close as the score indicates. Cowboys are horrible. Redskins are not I did it. There it is.
Red Tails
could not be any more mediocre, and yet they absolutely took the Cowboys into camp.
In the second half behind the woodshed. And just
that was a woodshed. And it was an absolute woodshedding well.
It was close at halftime. I mean, it was just like close competitive.
Yeah, it was 17-13 at the half. In fact, it was 20-16 going into the fourth quarter. And then Antonio Gibson took over.
And then Mike McCarthy's stupidity woke up.
Right, and then Montez, girl, I'm going to make you sweat, got scored on an interception return. Really a hideous play by Andy Dalton there. And the Washington rolls in there. And at the time, took over sole possession of first place on that
Until
Thursday.
Until a certain team in the Big Apple show.
Right. But more of that later.
Yeah.
To keep the suspense of the magical NFC East going.
No.
Moving to Sunday's action. We talked about the Raiders and they got slaughtered.
Ugh.
What happened? 43-6. The
autumn wind is a stomping.
The Falcons just put it on them. And
with no Julio in the lineup, no Todd Gurley in the lineup, they still just got waxed. There are games that just make you shake your head. That's one of them.
Matt Ryan's a top five passer in the league. You know that, right?
Did you say that with a straight face?
No, I just an accurate statement.
It is an accurate statement, but he's not a top five quarterback.
He's top five in passing yards.
Yes, in stats he is.
This is the kind of game to the Raiders, to me, that it just makes me not want to take them seriously as a contender.
There are teams that you kind of teeter-totter on are they serious or not. The Browns are a week-to-week thing. The Raiders are becoming a week-to-week thing. Like, the Browns are really good at times, but a two-point win against Jacksonville and then the Raiders. And you lost by a touchdown against the Chiefs with nothing to sneeze at. And then you just get chewed out by the Falcons. I'm confuzzled.
I thought that
their defense caught up to him.
Well, and Josh Jacobs had to go out too, and he is going to be okay. It looks like what they indicated is probably just going to be minor injury. But I think you realize how much that team really leans on him. And when Jacobs isn't in the game, I think they have a problem because I don't think they can move the ball consistently. Derek, don't call me Undertaker Carr. didn't look very good at all, and I'm interested to see how he bounces back because that's been the rap on Carr for all these years, is that...
Can't win a big game?
No. And
or can't win a game that matters?
Well, not really, and it just looked like that, and that, you know, through the big backbreaker pick six to Deion Jones there, that, you know, it was still at least in range at that point, and then Jones picks him off and goes 67 yards the other way with it for a touchdown, and that makes it 23-3, and for all practical purposes, the game is over at that point. Carr didn't throw a touchdown pass. Jacobs had 27 yards. They looked out of sync.
Yep.
And they can't afford too many more games like that. It'll be the outside looking in.
Because I think there are teams ahead of them that are really good. Miami's really good. Baltimore's still certainly not out of this yet. The Browns are still really good, so gotta keep winning.
We go to the Buffalo, where the more I watch the Chargers, the more I'm convinced Anthony Lynn has to get fired.
Yep.
It won't happen probably before the season ends, but I think he's got so much talent, and again, I think we saw it wasted in a game where it was very winnable for the Chargers. It was sloppy and it was ugly, but honestly, Herbert throws for 316 and a touchdown. But again, the one poor play he really makes, he gets picked by Tre'Davious White. That pretty much turns the tide of the game. And then some inexplicable play calling at the end of the game by... This is a poorly coached team with a lot of talent.
Yeah.
And I don't understand why they can't be any better than that.
The pink slip was on his desk. And it, like, who would you want to replace Lynn?
Well, I think Eric...
Eric Gamer's the top on anybody's list. So, I mean, which one's
the... If the Lions haven't been texting him all weekend, they're making a mistake.
Or the Texans, or... I think the Falcons are a whole under... I think Raheem Morris is their head coach. I think they like him.
I could see that.
But the rumor I've heard that Rex Ryan might be interested in the Chargers job.
Serious.
Like, he would be a good fit. Sexy Rexy in Los Angeles?
No.
Just saying.
Young Let's go eat a goddamn snack. That's what
we're doing. No, it's a GD snack.
All right. Trying to keep it PG-13.
Right? No, that's hard.
Well, Josh Allen, future starter in front of Ian Book. Another game where he was unspectacular, I guess. 157 yards and a touchdown.
Finds every tight end in sight, you know, because they have...
Including one of the best tight end names ever, Dawson Knox.
Knox.
Just sounds like a badass. and the Bills do what they need to do. They win and go to 8-3. They win at 27-17 at home. Game they should win. Buffalo's got some challenges in front of them. They got 49ers next. Followed by the Steelers. That'll be an interesting
game. That'll be a really good game.
Then they go Broncos, Patriots, Dolphins to end the year. Probably 10 wins there.
Mm-hmm.
And probably the AFC East.
Yep. Other than the Patriots.
Yeah. It'll be the first time in a while that has happened. Chargers going nowhere fast, although they do, again, have the most kick-ass uniforms in the National Football League, no matter what uniform combo
they wear. Yep, whichever one they wear, it's awesome.
It's beautiful. Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. The New York Football Giants. Strike that. The first place
New York Football Giants. Wait, scratch that again. The non-Daniel Jones New York Football Giants.
Correct. they call it the Pyrrhic victory, and that's why.
McCoy Football Giants.
I mean, we all knew that Wayne Gallman was going to lead them to the NFC East title, right? Didn't we, at the beginning of the year?
Oh, yeah. That was my lock.
Evan Engram has 129 yards receiving, gets hurt part of the game. Daniel Jones gets hurt, leading to the immortal Colt McCoy.
Who's still in the league.
Who was last relevant.
With the Red...
yeah, with that team that we used to be called the Skins of Red. Right. But the only offense that Cincinnati got in this game of any consequence
was a special team.
Was Brandon Wilson taking a kick back on in 3 yards. But the G-Man!
The G-Man?
Come out with the win there.
Or the best Bob Popovich. Touchdown Giants!
Bob Popovich, yeah.
What's wrong with you?
I don't like Bob Popovich.
Oh, come on.
Fat Randy Bullock kicked a few field goals, but it was the kicking of Graham Gano.
Don't you know.
Who sealed this one for the G-Man. They got a 4-7 on the year and again first place. Reality check coming real fast, though, for the Giants, whose next four are Seahawks, Cardinals, Browns, and Ravens. And that may not even matter.
They might win the division anyway.
So it's very possible they could win with a 5-11 record. I'm not kidding. But we'll see as we go to the three-quarter pole here in the season. The Giants, ladies and gentlemen, first place.
They should just get the division now.
Unbelievable. Titans. Wow. 45-26
touchdown
over the Colts. And it wasn't that close. Derrick Henry making his MVP bid here. 178 yards, 3 touchdowns. Absolute battering ram in there. Throw in an A.J. Brown touchdown of 69 yards. And then he gives them the FU at the end by returning the onside kick
to the hizzle.
To the hizzle. So that's a hell of a day for. The Colts, after that huge win they had in knocking off the Packers last week and getting that fluky fumble by he of the three names, Marcus Valdes-Scantling. They just came out and kind of got shoved around all over, and it's 35-14 at the half. And they were never really in it.
No, they weren't, and it's disappointing because they thought the Colts would be a really good team to wrap up the season, but they clearly are inconsistent, just like half the teams in the NFL are, it seems like. It's a division game. They know each other really well. It's like nobody can game plan for Derrick Henry. It's confusing.
It's tough to get game plan when the whole game plan is truck stick.
Up on the right stick.
Colts are still in the playoffs technically at this point, but again, that's the kind of performance you just can't afford to have if you want to be an elite contender, and they're going to be more than likely, almost certainly, on the road for a first-round playoff game. Titans, look out. I mean, again, we always talk about, does that kind of offense...
It works in the playoffs.
...play well in all conditions and all weather? You bet it does.
Here's my problem with them. Can they beat Pittsburgh? They didn't. Can they beat Kansas City? I don't see them beating either of those two teams.
Tough after what we saw in Kansas City, and we'll get to that game later, to think that anybody really right now is going to be able to get them. Patriots win an odd game. 20-17, they take care of the Cardinals. Cam Newton literally looks like he's on his last leg some of these games.
Mm-hmm.
But they win. Are they in contention still?
No.
Yes.
No, they're not. No,
are there
not.
Going to be any relevant factor in the playoff race? No.
They're not a playoff team. The Patriots' hopes are on life support, and even then I don't think that's enough.
I mean, Cam Newton's 84 yards, two interceptions.
I really need to take him off my fantasy team.
Yeah, you really do.
But
thanks to James White, though, who scores a pair of touchdowns. And this is, again, a maturation process for Kyler Murray and this Cardinals offense, who... we're out of sync. Yeah. I don't know if there's any other better way to say it. Murray couldn't make the plays with his legs, and that's the problem he's going to run into, is he can't do it all. And then he finally figures out, again, the classic Bill Belichick, I'm going to take away what you do best, and you're going to have to beat me. And he can't do it.
The way DeAndre Hopkins.
Yep, and so all they did, they wound up with Kenyon Drake scoring two touchdowns and getting the ball for 75 yards, but Kenyon Drake himself is not going to take over and win you a game.
No, but here's the problem with Arizona. You keep losing, the Vikes are right there waiting for you to lose. And if you lose two in a row and the Vikes somehow win their next game with Jacksonville and then beat Tampa Bay,
which is not out of the question.
But you're in trouble because you have to keep winning because the Vikes are getting there.
And certainly if you're Arizona.
Arizona.
Arizona's got, again, Rams, Giants, Eagles, 49ers, Rams again.
Those last two are going to be tough because the Niners are getting their guys back.
These Rams-Cardinals games are going to be very pivotal in deciding who goes to the playoffs.
And I picked the Rams in both of those games.
The Rams are favored.
Yep.
Spoiler alert, we'll pick those games Thursday. But, oh, Carson Wentz, 4th-and-2, tip pass.
Oh.
Not good.
No.
Not good. No. By the way, we're both on Seattle and not good.
Yes, we are.
I should say, we. I guess if you want a redo on the Wednesday night pick, you can have it now.
You can still do it. I'm still picking Pittsburgh, yeah, regardless of when the game is kicked off.
I don't know what the line
off.
Is now, but we'll stick with what we made.
Whenever the game is kicked off, I'll still take Pittsburgh.
It's going to be Wednesday at like 2:40 in the afternoon.
Because of the tree lighting ceremony.
It's a big deal, man.
At Rockefeller Plaza, because that's more important than a damn football game. So
NBC said they were willing to move it if it needed to.
The lighting of a Christmas tree. I know it's iconic. I get it. It's a tree. It's one of the story rivalries in football.
One of the most storied rivalries. Hasn't even been around for 30 years, and we're in
Baltimore. Does that matter?
Well, I'm just saying a storied is a bit of a hackneyed adjective to use.
No,
that.
It's not. Their games are bloodbaths, and their playoff games are more bloodbaths. So I mean, I'm okay. It is a rivalry, clear rivalry.
RG3 is going to start a quarterback.
Trace McSorley.
Another 8-1 shit guy.
That's
Robert
true.
Griffin III.
Trace McSorley.
Who was one of the patron saints of 8-1 shit in his career. Speaking of 8-1 shit, the Jets.
Rich Eisen does not want them to win a game.
Why is
so.
That?
Because he wants, because he wants the quarterback. He wants a quarterback.
Oh, he wants.
He wants.
Lawrence. He wants sunshine.
He wants. He wants Lawrence. He doesn't care if they go 0-16. And you know what? And he's like, let's just have Flacco start the rest of the games. We'll have Darnold healthy for 20 minutes. We can trade him to somebody, and we'll be okay.
Let's give it up to old-ass Frank Gore for keeping a game interesting for a while. He had 74
that
yards.
Dude is top three in rushing yards. He's on his he's literally on his last legs.
And then I saw during the game that his son...
He's playing at Southern Miss.
Like, old-ass has a kid, and he's playing football already?
He's playing college ball.
By the way, on a positive note in this game, Sergio Castillo kicked for the Jets. Oh, yeah. That will never cease to be funny.
Oh,
anyway,
it will always be funny.
Sergio Castillo of the San Antonio Commanders fame.
Commander.
38-yarder, and that was the only lead the Jets had the entire day. As the immortal Mike Gesicki caught another touchdown pass. And then Adam Shaheen, who Dayton'd his way to a first four touchdown. Or wait, that's Adam Troutman.
Wrong team.
So, sorry about that. Jason Colonel Sanders with a couple of 50-plus
yards.
Chicken. What's the matter, Colonel Sanders?
Chicken.
Gets a
prepare
couple.
A ship.
Excuse me?
Prepare a ship.
Oh, for ludicrous speed. For the space ball. All right, we could go on for a whole show on that.
Yeah.
So the Jets, let's... I have incorrectly cut off the music. There we go. So what we're faced is a situation where the Jets... Here we go. Raiders, Seahawks, Rams, Browns, Patriots.
Who made their schedule? I mean, that's just ruthless.
Wow.
It's just bad. I mean, who wants the Jets to lose that badly? They're like, we're going to give every hard game on the schedule, slap it on their schedule. It's ridiculous.
It's unfortunate.
It's redonkulous.
It's redonkulous?
Yes.
It is probably redonkulous.
Suck.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I had to play that. I'm confused about everything about the Jets. They're 8-point underdogs to the Raiders already this week.
I mean, the only thing that's left for the Jets to do is go 0-16. I mean, they've gone 1-15, 2-14. That's the only thing left in their storied history is too. And that's all like the AJ Dewey and everything else is to go 0-16.
So we had 0-16 Detroit in 08. We had 0-16 Cleveland in 2017. So, and now we're going to have, you know, 0-16 New York Jets. Let's play what if the Jets go 0-16. Let's rank the three 0-16 teams.
Okay, the Jets.
So the Jets. So we have the, again, just so everybody knows, we have the 0-16 2008 Lions.
From best to worst to best.
Well, I don't care. What order do you want to do them?
I'd probably go worst to best.
Worst to best?
The worst one is the 0-8 Lions.
You think they're the worst?
Do you think the Browns are worse?
I think the Browns actually had a shot to win.
The Browns were
in
games. I mean, they almost beat Green Bay. I know, right? They were in some games. They almost won the Pittsburgh game week 17. I mean, they were in some games. The Lions, I mean, their closest game is maybe the Viking game.
Where Orlovsky ran out of the end zone.
can you take Orlovsky seriously?
No.
On TV?
Not really.
Like your people just laugh at him and just do like, hey, they sit around the back of my own end zone. I mean, no, I think the Lions are the worst team. Cool. I think the Browns are the second worst. I think the Jets, because I think the Jets are the best 0-16 team when they do go 0-16.
In the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king,
team,
correct?
Yes. Because they have some talent on that team.
Well,
they have some sort of receiving talent, okay? They do. Yes, they do.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
They have a couple pieces, like Sam Darnold, and they have you know, Mekhi Becton at left tackle, so at least they have a couple good guys, but like... Yeah.
It's a horrible franchise.
Yeah.
It needs to be blown up entirely.
Again, tell me again how they won a Super Bowl.
Joe Namath.
Yeah, selling a soul.
Joe Namath, ladies and gentlemen.
So until the day he dies, they're going to be a cursed franchise.
Speaking of those, Browns 27, Jaguars 25.
Both of them, yes.
In a game much closer than it needed to be, but the Browns do what they need to do in these types of situations. They beat a bad team despite playing not their best game. And
no, the Browns do what the Browns do. They may let them hang around and win by two.
You think Stefanski gets a couple more wins? He's pretty much the coach of the year without question.
Yes.
Okay. Baker Mayfield.
Being Baker Mayfield.
Did not exactly. He missed a wide open.
That's been a meme. I mean, two wide open receivers on slants. Misses both of them. He goes right between the eyes and misses both of them.
It was pretty bad quarterback performance. But despite that, he still does manage to take it home and win. And I thought it was interesting that Mike Glennon, love you, man, had a pretty decent ball game.
Yeah.
In the whole scheme of things. He was 235 yards and two touchdowns. I continue to be amazed that James Robinson can continue to be as good as he is. As they do, well, man.
The patchwork offensive line.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he's still grinding. He is the only thing about that team that is worth a remote damn.
Ben Ellison?
Well, but they don't throw it to Ben Ellison. Does he still have more than the 1-2-point catch, by the way?
No,
I guess
so.
I haven't even looked.
I don't think so.
Jason Myers Halloween's his way to a field goal there, and it's Michael Myers' Halloween, but that doesn't quite work on that.
No.
So the Eagles letting Russ cook tonight. It's 20-9 as Carson Wentz's career with the Eagles continues to spiral out of control.
It's not his fault.
I don't know. But anyway, James Robinson, 128 yards. Browns had it and kind of seemed like they had a little bit of a letdown and let the Jaguars back in the game. And then James Robinson scores with just over 2 minutes to go, and the two-point pass goes awry, and the Browns win. Not sure how far they're going to get in the playoffs, but I think they're basically about one win from locking
it
up.
If they make the playoffs. Man, this is the Browns we're talking about. They haven't made the playoffs since Kelly Holcomb was the quarterback. Even when they had a 10-6...
Is that Butch Davis?
Yes. Okay. Even when they had a 10-6 season, they missed the playoffs. So until they are mathematically in the playoffs, I'm not going to say they're a playoff team.
Nick Chubb with another 144 yards.
When he starts, they win. So.
And surprisingly, without OBJ, they seem to play better. Where have I heard this before?
Like some Giants game.
Yeah. Jarvis Landry, 143 yards and a touchdown, targeted 11 times, has kind of become the guy for Baker Mayfield when he's not, you know, making the rotisserie turkey and the progressive
with
insurance.
With the crescent rolls for his kid.
Yeah, the crescent rolls. Strange commercial. Anyway, Jaguars are hopeless. Come to visit the Vikings next week.
Yeah.
This is where we would have recapped Ravens Steelers, but they still haven't played yet. Yeah. Hopefully by sometime in December they'll get this game in. Now rescheduled for Wednesday at 2:40, as we said. So Steelers -5. That was the line when we picked this game last week. Right now I don't believe there is any line on the game because Vegas is absolutely scared. Actually, now the line has moved to 10, but we will stay with Steelers -5 because that's where we picked it at.
10?
Well, no Lamar.
I
half
mean, 10?
COVID outbreaks.
But 10?
One for each win the Steelers have? No? Okay. I was reaching for something. Then,
you were.
So. In a game that featured one more completion than you and I had by a quarterback, the Saints pound the living shit out of the Broncos, 31-3.
I mean, this compared to the guy who came in and played quarterback for the
That's
Broncos.
Kendall Hinton, ladies and gentlemen.
I mean,
one for nine.
Yeah, two picks, one completion, a low.
I hope he kept the ball from the completion.
Well, I don't think he did because Noah Fant caught it.
Noah Fant caught it, 13-yard completion.
Woohoo! All right.
But
I was like, you know what? He did the best he could, and I commend him for it. But
when you do your best,
don't succeed. Yeah, well, it's like you can't blame him. He's the quarterback on short notice. He has to, you know, finish dusting his arm, trying to get to work again. He's catching passes, not throwing them. But
isn't it interesting though that the Broncos basically started a nobody at quarterback and got 3 points? And Tom Brady started against the Saints, and he only got 3 points. Strange thing this NFL.
Oh, boy, yay!
Oh, boy, yay!
Yeah.
Taysom Hill didn't look like much of an NFL quarterback either. And Latavius Murray, 124 yards and two touchdowns, though he looked very Viking-esque era, Latavius Murray.
Yeah, I mean, he had a little bit left in the tank back then. Yeah.
Might. but Taysom Hill, of course, did 44 yards running of his own and two touchdowns because glorified tight end playing quarterback.
Yeah.
Can't stand him.
Yeah.
Can't stand Taysom Hill.
Basically, he's the quarterback of the future. So.
Gadget play BS and inaccurate arm. He's
the quarterback of the future.
Seriously, just dumb. Oh my God, Carson Wentz is going to get sacked again. Seriously. I mean, honestly, every time I look up, the guy's going to the turf.
Well, because of blitzing everyone.
I would.
Yeah, I would too.
49ers beat the Rams 23-20 in an interesting one. The Rams, they bother me. Their defense should keep
them.
Get
that horn.
Oh, yes.
Gotta get a new horn.
Gotta get a new producer, apparently, because I can't remember to hit the horn. what happened to that, other than the fact that I didn't play the horn?
They're inconsistent as hell? Is that the way?
Well, maybe, but I just thought they would have been a lot better against the 49er team that doesn't really have any, you know, offensive weaponry.
Hit that horn!
That's a losing horn.
That's a losing horn. That's the dun, 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 dun,
dun.
Unprecedented that the Rams can play such good defense though and lose to a team with,
and then just play so poorly. And
yeah,
I just like Goff looks lost, but sometimes back there, and he's hard. He can't get the ball to Cooper Kupp. He can't get it to his receivers. The running game has been okay, but their defense at times is spotty too. I'm just like, it's like half the league's teams are mediocre. I mean, there's no distinctive favorite out of the NFC to win, to at least get to the Super Bowl. Any team that makes the playoffs in the NFC can go to the Super Bowl. At least any one of them. Because I don't feel like there's one distinctive
favorite. We'll see about that when we get to the playoff recap here.
I'm just saying, any team that makes the playoffs, I could see anyone going to the Super Bowl.
I'm not sure how to take that. I think if the Rams get in, I'm not sure they're capable of winning a Super Bowl.
No, I'm saying any one of the teams that make the playoffs could. I mean,
there's no favorite. Any one of them is good enough. Because I mean, you're gonna have to get in the playoffs, so you gotta get shot at winning. I mean, you know, the John Madden line, but I'm just like, the Rams are okay. Every team's kind of okay. Every team's not good at something. I'm just like, Packers rush defense, Saints it's lack of offense at times, and it's like, I don't know.
49ers stay in the playoff race at 5-6 with Nick Mullins a quarterback. No. Not happening. Game of the day, or so it was hyped as leading
game
into
of
it.
The day,
game of the day. Chiefs win a 27-24 over the Bucks. Tyreek Hill went legally insane. I think he had 200 yards in the first quarter.
Correct.
Patrick Mahomes had like 465 for the game.
Fantasy points.
I'm surprised the Bucs honestly kept it this close. And the Bucs have this really bad tendency in mojo right now. When they get into a game against a good opponent, they get it handed to them hard.
So I question if the Vikes go into Tampa 6-6.
I think the Vikes are going to give them a game.
How's Tampa going to react? How's Brady going to react? I know, but my problem with the Vikes, the secondary is still young and inexperienced.
But they're better, and you could tell it this weekend. They're getting better.
How would you play Brady? Because teams have figured him out. How do you play him on defense? You blitz him? What do you do?
I always would. I think as you're older and slower and less mobile, you absolutely should.
Well, he's always been like his entire career.
But now he's more prone to take shots down the field, whereas in the past.
Here's the knock with Arians, though. He wants to go down there. He wants to go way downfield with it. That's what got him fired in Pittsburgh as the offensive coordinator, because he wanted to throw the ball deep on 3rd-and-1. And that's always been the knock on him. Throw it deep all the time and not take the short stuff. And now Brady's kind of sucked into that. I got to throw it deep. I got to get to my receiver.
Well, Brady was never allowed to throw it deep.
And now he is. Because when he had Randy Moss, you know, he has all sorts of fun. You know, throw it deep, 50 touchdowns. Woo! And now it's like, wow, my team isn't as good as I thought it was. Because you know, this is his super team that he has here. And yet they're 7-5 and they got waxed by. They were in that game towards the end of the Kansas City game, that first half. And just. They're not as deadly as I thought they would be. I thought they would just run over everybody.
I thought offensively they'd be a lot better than that.
Yeah, but it looks like they haven't gelled yet. Because they keep adding new pieces and like, I get to this guy, this guy, this guy, this guy. And, oh, what about AB over here? Like, I'm just like.
Well, and again, Tom Brady, the Bucks are the greatest, like, 2008 fantasy team ever assembled.
Yeah,
Gronkowski, Brady.
Like 2011 or like 2014.
You got Leonard Fournette in there, too, just for good
measure.
Yeah, I mean,
Shady McCoy. I mean, I got everybody.
Seriously, yeah. And their tight end group is great.
Yeah, it is. Gronkowski, right? Right.
Yeah, and... No? Okay. Cameron Brate. Greatest tight end in the history of mankind. Is he, you like Cameron Brate. Scotty Miller?
I'm saying that Cameron's a solid tight end. I don't, I'm not saying he's a great tight end.
Okay, just...
I think O.J. Howard's better than him.
O.J.
But also, he's hurt, so that's going to be... adds to their arsenal if he's healthy.
Ronald Jones looked really good the last few weeks.
Funny, when they hand, when the Bucks hand off the rock, they're a pretty good offense. Mm-hmm. But now we got to go...
They're very not bad. They're very not bad. And of course... The Eagles are going
for
it, and they're going for it again because Doug Peterson insists on losing games before they're actually lost. Fourth and four, Wentz from the 15, snap back underneath, looking over the middle, ball is tipped and intercepted in the end zone.
It's a touchdown. Wait, sorry, wrong team.
Seriously. I don't know who number 37 is for the Seahawks.
Quandre Diggs. He's not really just to Stephon Diggs.
Doing the Seahawk something or other flap.
Or eagle.
Flapping his wings.
Fly like an eagle. Like.
Flapping his wings. Like
soaring with a sweet interception.
Sweet interception. I think, I don't know, did it get tipped?
No.
Okay.
I get airmailed it.
That was horrible.
Airmailed.
Knowing Wentz, he'll just say, aw shucks, and walk off. But
nah, he...
I don't know. I'll just shake my head on that one. Anyway, Chiefs go to 10-1 and look unstoppable. I don't care if they have one loss; they're still the best team in the league.
It was a close loss too. Like maybe it blown out of the building.
Bucks fall to 7.
A team that did get blown out of the building was the Chicago Bears.
Right, and fall down Chicago Bears. 41-25, and again another game that scored not.
It
as
wasn't
close
even
as
that close.
It really wasn't. Aaron Rodgers toyed with them for a half. It was 27-3 or whatever at the half, and. They never look back. I mean, just a pathetic display by the Bears again.
Just admit you're wrong. I know you're forced to play him tonight, but just admit it, get rid of him, and do something.
And they're probably going to have to play him next week.
They're going to have to. So horrible. It's just like, you know what? They've always lacked an offense. They will always lack the offense. It's just, they've never had a sustained offense since the 85 Bears. Even that team lacked in some areas. So it's just like, you know what? You got to fix your offense at some point, and maybe a new quarterback will help you. Because Trubisky ain't the answer, Foles ain't the answer. I don't know who the hell their third string quarterback is, but he's not even that good at it. So,
it's Tyler Bray for the record.
Oh, right, because he did play a snap in the Monday night game.
So here we go, playoff standings. AFC as of right now. If the season ended today, and it doesn't, Pittsburgh top of the conference, 10-0.
Don't lose.
KC at 10-1. Tennessee the 3 at 8-3. They win the tiebreak on Buffalo, who is the 4 at 8-3. Cleveland is the first wild card at 8-3. The Finns, the Fish, whatever you want to call them, Miami.
The Dolphs.
In 6 at 7-4. The Colts, the last one in at 7-4. Baltimore could create a logjam here if they win Wednesday afternoon.
Yeah, right.
Think about that for a second. Vegas at 6-5, 9. Patriots not out of it at 5-6.
They're
10.
They're out of it.
Denver and Houston 11-4-7. Chargers 3-8. Pathetic Browns. Bengals 2-8-1.
Whichever Ohio team you want to pick first.
Jacksonville 1-10. New York Jets 0-11. National Conference.
National Football Conference.
National Football Conference.
Not National Conference. Same National League.
Saints 9-2, Packers 8-3, Seahawks win tonight as it appears they will. They're going to 8-3, and that will jump them up to the 2 spot, I believe, if they do that. The Giants in 4th, Rams in 5th at 7-4, Bucks in 6th, Cardinals in 7th at 6-5, Vikes the 8 seed now, 5-6. Tied with the Bears at 5-6, 49ers 5-6, Detroit, Washington, Atlanta in that order at 4-7, Philadelphia 3-6-1, Carolina 4-8, and Dallas 3-8. The truth of the Vikings now, so Dallas is in last place in the NFC,
Ooh.
Dead effing last,
Ooh.
And the Vikes couldn't beat them
mm-hmm.
at home.
Mm-hmm.
After they had the lead, oh excuse me, yeah, on there for a minute,
mm-hmm.
been a long day. Okay. You still think any of the 6 NFC teams can go to the Super Bowl? 7 NFC teams?
I'm saying that they would have a chance.
Even the Giants? Come on, you are on drugs.
Maybe the one question mark, but I mean...
You think?
Yeah. Whoever the four seed is, that's the one team that has
a chance. So right now the Rams would go to New York. Not a gimme.
I know, because was it 17-9 when they played each other? So
it was close.
If that's the matchup, then maybe the Giants got a shot. That's the only matchup I'd be okay with them having. Because if they get the Cardinals or the Vikes or whoever they play against, they're going to get whooped by whoever they play, unless it's the Rams. Feel good about them against the Rams.
Yeah, I agree. And that's the week in the National Football League, which will conclude.
We think.
A week from when it started, apparently.
We think.
Yeah. So hopefully they'll play them Wednesday afternoon, and then we'll get right on to Week 13.
We hope.
And yeah, if all else fails, they moved a whole other bunch of games now. Other games around to accommodate that. So we'll see. It's going to be like this for the rest of the year. I have a feeling if they get more outbreaks and issues and things going on here. But let's go to the college ranks briefly. Not much in the way of dramatics this weekend in the college football ranks. Alabama kicks the living hell out of Auburn in the Iron Bowl. Not exactly pick six worthy. Mac Jones carves up Auburn, and I do mean carves them up.
Yep.
It was an ugly performance there by the Auburn defense. But I think... they do that to everybody now. I mean, I think Alabama's just that good.
I think Bama's good. I didn't think they were that good, but they look really good right now. Here's my thing with Bama. They're good. I want to see them play against whoever the four seed is. Maybe they're number one if they beat Florida.
Well, Florida.
If Florida can give them a challenge, and if Florida gets the winner of that game is going to be in the playoff, losers out, in my opinion. Back up a second. With the 14 playoff, I still hate it because I'm like, if it's 6 or 8, they should both be in. I don't know. I'm just confuzzled with Bama and the playoff.
Okay, I thought you were going somewhere.
I was and I'm not.
Alabama is by far and away the best team, and I don't think it's close right now. Notre Dame survived it. They had a challenge for North Carolina, and Carolina is a good team, but not good enough to win this one. So Notre Dame wins it 31-17. The Pac-12 taken out of the playoff race for all intents and purposes because the Oregon State Beavers defeat their in-state rivals, the Ducks, 31-38. And again, I go back to our discussion that we had that night, Grant. Sorry, we have to wait for the end. What a great theme song. Anyway,
okay.
What would have happened if the Bison had played Oregon this year?
They would have won. The more I look at Oregon, the more they would have won.
Oregon State is a horrible football team.
Absolutely. Right? Their uniforms are worse. It was the highlighter bowl in Oregon State.
Yeah, the
won.
Fog and everything else. Bad game. Two teams that were not very good. Boring.
It wasn't bad, it was boring kind of thing.
It was so bad, it was boring.
I mean, the quarterback for Oregon like broke his leg, like, or hurts, like, shattered something in his leg, and it came out of the game on a play that he was already scored on in the first place.
Right, and they had to bring in the backup quarterback.
To sneak it again.
His name was, like, Chance something or other, right?
They ran the sneak
play. Took a gamble on that one.
They ran the sneak play three times in a row. Like,
well, the first one, the guy jumped totally offside. They didn't call it.
And he scored, but
whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
So it was, the whole game was just crazy, but entertaining for a Saturday night anyhow. Mm-hmm. No other major changes in the top 25 of any kind. Indiana won, but they lose Michael Penix Jr. for the year, which is too bad because he was pretty entertaining. Mm-hmm. Game day is going to Coastal Carolina.
Why?
Play Liberty, Liberty, Liberty.
Why is that?
I know.
Because the top 25 matchup, is that why?
You got it.
Seriously.
Clemson with Trevor Lawrence back easily handles Pittsburgh. Northwestern, bad loss to Michigan State.
Clemson in the all-purple uniforms. Those are fantastic.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are.
A&M beats LSU. Georgia over South Carolina. Ohio State did not play. Ohio State needs to make sure they don't. They're going to wind up the Big Ten champ by default. I mean, honestly, is the way it's going to work. And
because they're better than Northwest.
I think we've now established truly that there are only, I think again, five or six teams that can get in the playoff. And Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, Ohio State.
Ain't ranked fifth, but they're like last in playoff chances. I mean, they really need a lot of things to happen.
They need some things to happen, right?
But I mean, that's why it's like. Like A&M's fifth, like they're good, but it just seems
it's getting
like,
tougher and tougher to exclude Notre Dame with one loss as we move.
Yeah,
this.
But if they lose to Clemson twice,
which can't happen because they've already beaten Clemson once.
Sorry, as a one loss Notre Dame team in the playoff.
Yes.
In your opinion, yes.
Yes.
In the voters' minds, maybe. It's a big maybe.
Notre Dame just put another top twenty win on their resume.
It all depends on which. What do they? It depends on the score of the ACC championship game. They get blown out, they're out.
If they lose by a touchdown,
they're in. If they win by a lot, they're in. They win by a little bit, they're in. I mean,
yeah, they just have to win. They don't have to win.
They just can't get blown out by 20 plus points. I think that's really what they just can't.
Even then, I still think they deserve.
Can't get their doors blown off. If they do, they're done. And then maybe you could fit A&M in there, depending how Florida plays.
If Florida ironically hurts their case, if Florida loses, that means their best win is against a two-loss team.
Yeah. So I mean, they can't lose, and
they're not. And I don't think the scenario exists in the house of cards for Cincinnati to get in under any set of circumstances. So.
But if BYU and Cincinnati get together, would that help their chances?
No.
No.
BYU's terrible.
Okay.
BYU doesn't have any business being in this discussion in any way, shape, or form. They just don't. They're not. They haven't played anybody. They haven't beaten anybody. And if the teams they have beat, nobody cares about.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it really comes down to.
Yeah.
But it's what it really comes down to. They don't have the resume in any way, shape, or form to belong in this conversation whatsoever. Well, time flies when you're having fun.
Mm-hmm.
Get in touch with the show. Our email is legendandloudmouth@gmail.com. That's legendandloudmouth@ggmail.com. You can find us on Twitter @legendloudmouth. That's @legendloudmouth. And check out our website, legendandloudmouth.com. That's legendandloudmouth.com. For links to our previous shows, Grant, how do we find you?
Follow me on Snapchat @GrantLegend1. Follow me at TikTok @GrantLegend. Follow us on Instagram @legend_loudmouth_pod. That's legend_loudmouth_pod. DM us if you like the show, hate the show. We don't care. Please subscribe to the YouTube channel.
We will see what happens in the if we finish week 12 by the time we have our next broadcast. But we'll be back on Thursday, preview the NFL weekend, and look at the college games ahead as we start to wind down and we move into December.
Yeah.
I believe I have
the 12th of December.
Hispanic, yeah. December.
Dos Equis.
It's Monday night. I think I need to get off the air before I say something really stupid, which pretty much happens on a weekly basis on this show anyway. Yep. So hey. Appreciate you coming along with us through November. We'll see you on the other side in December on Thursday night. It's a legend. And the Loudmouth. Good night, everybody.